The current discussions that I'm sort of having are primarily with men around the topics of manhood and spirituality. So this podcast is going to be a bit biased, or it's going to slant towards spirituality. Maybe we may discuss some therapeutic concepts. And I'm just trying to keep everybody in the loop. So if you are, who knows who's watching this, but just for the record, if you are married to your spouse, or you want to know possibly what your spouse is possibly discussing and what I'm sort of offering as a training and support, well, here's some good fodder for you. In these conversations regarding which is just free information I'm giving, you know, I don't think that anybody should withhold themselves I don't think anybody, any therapist should withhold concepts related to therapy. Hopefully there's enough fodder on the internet to give everybody a sense of what therapy is like, and hopefully find some indirect support. Obviously the direct support through finding a therapist in your local neighborhood or being in your community or abroad, I guess there's plenty of options. That's the best, that's the optimal situation, so that you can get direct support with regards to special focus on your particular situation. This is sort of a broad topic. Again, it's something that I'm discussing with a certain level of anonymity with my male clients. The idea of what, I mean, I discuss it with female clients too, I guess, with regard to giving them understanding about how men operate, or what is a man and what is a male and female role. Because I'm a male, I like to think I have a stronger disposition or positioning or opinion even on topics related to manhood. Click like and subscribe, share, comment. I would love feedback on this. This is just a little bit. I'm not trying to be accurate with any of the podcast posts. I'm really just, you know, trying to promote therapy. We all need therapy. Trying to promote even black therapy, even therapy amongst black men, to say, oh, and hopefully maybe somebody will hold on to a concept that I'm saying and say, oh, man, maybe I should try out therapy. And I think that if by listening to my post, a person gets that message, then I've sort of done my job. Or they say, oh, man, this is how, you know, maybe my spouse or husband in this particular segment, maybe that's what they work on. This is maybe another way of looking at this. Then I sort of done my job with regards to just providing a form of community therapy in that sense. So getting to the topic, I'll say this. Just a heads up, click like and subscribe, comment, share. Give me your thoughts on what we're talking about. I'm just being philosophical. I don't want to have these conversations where people are looking for like dead accuracy, and for crying out loud, please don't look me up so you can find all that I probably break half the rules that we're talking about here. Like this is not me trying to provide information based off of my perfection of any type of concept, but rather something that maybe we as humans should strive towards from a point of learning and exploration, and not from a point of dead accuracy. I had to put out that disclaimer because heaven knows if this sort of takes wind and somebody gives me some weird feedback. Like, let me put out all the disclaimers. A, I'm not perfect. B, what I talk about with regards to manhood, relationships, or anything else does not imply that I myself are following the rules, let alone are benefiting from any rules that are taking place. So I'm just as imperfect as any other human being. I need help just as much as any human being. And quite honestly, I seek out help just like I encourage any human being. Every therapist should have a therapist. Every therapist should have somebody in their life to help refine them and sharpen their saw just like anybody else. So I want these conversations to be judgmental free. There's some preliminaries. So, topic at hand. What is the role of a man? Biblical role of a man. I'm going to talk about this loosely as it relates to scripture. Those who see this podcast, you can throw in scripture that references it. I'm not going to get too deep here with regards to scriptural reference. This is not prepared. This is live and unscripted. So some of the topics that we're talking about with regards to manhood. One of the things when I talk with particularly male clients is we explore what is the role of a man and how, what is the, not only the role of a man, but from a spiritual standpoint, what's the biblical role of a man? The Bible has a couple of references that gives us a idea of what the character of a man might be based off of just some general commandments. I'm going to talk to you about maybe two or three passages in just in reference. So if you're listening to this and you have the actual biblical reference, by all means share it. Again, we're just having some imperfect conversation regarding this. The first one is, you know, we can go back to all the way to Adam. Just a heads up before I forget, we're gonna do these at like 4:30 a.m. So this is supposed to be a 4:30 a.m. broadcast. I broadcasted it a little bit later. The broadcast will last 30 minutes to an hour, just depending on whether there's any audience that wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So Larry for Therapy broadcast will be broadcast 4:30 a.m. Monday through Friday going forward. So you'll see me here tomorrow, and then you won't see me on the weekend, and you'll be back here on Monday. That's the plan, at least. And you'll keep doing this till we run out of breath. Anyways, you can clearly see the one of the initial commandments given to man, which I think is the primary commandment. When Adam sins, he's punished. And God says, because of your sin, you are no longer a gardener. You are now a farmer. You are gonna work the field. You're gonna work your butt off. You're gonna work till you till from you know till sweat beads off your forehead, right? That's one of the first commandments that God gave after the sin. And we're in the after sin world here. After you are, we're after the we're in the after first man sin world here from a biblical perspective. And so the commandment that he gave Adam is the commandment that, unfortunately, the penance that we live by. But if you notice, God does not give that same commandment of work to anybody else in the household. He doesn't give it to the child. He doesn't give it to the mother. He doesn't give it to extended family. He gives it to the man as it relates to his immediate relationship with his spouse and his children, right? And so we see that. We see man passing down work, the teaching work to his children. Cain and Abel, right? They were all working their respective parts, right? Young men working in their respective areas, right? That is one of the first concepts that I think is given to humanity, but more specifically as it relates to man's role in a relationship. The thing that I emphasize, and I'll riff off of this point with the other scriptural passages, is that God, you know, God's calling for a man in his relationship, man is supposed to be the hardest working person in the house. if you know, across the board. And I believe, and this is me sort of riffing off of this, that's not only just in a physical sense with regards to being able to be a provider, being able to make sure you are doing your part to add comfort to the household, but that also goes beyond just caretaking for the house and making sure things are stabilized in the house. That's also to the emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects as well. And I can prove it. I can prove it. If you go later on in scriptural passages, the other scriptural passages that I can reference as it relates to that, the Bible says that the man is the priest of his household, right? So what does that mean by that? You ever seen a priest? Usually when you go into a church and you look at the priest, he represents the highest form of devotion and work in the household. Even back in those days, you know, the priest represented the one who did the excessive work in the church to not only bridge the connection between the people and God, but also to bring in and draw individuals toward God. And in the like manner, the man is required to do the work needed in all, not only to bring his family toward God, but he's the one that should be doing the most. He should be outworking his environment. I believe from a competitive standpoint that the man should be the hardest person working in the room across the board. That is a big cup to fill. One of the things that I tell men is, you know, it's something that I try to follow even in my imperfect relationship. Our role is to give 150%. And God has designed us that way. When God gave the commandment to Adam that he was going to work, that is not a condemnation in the sense that God put something on him that he was not capable of doing. As soon as the commandment goes out, anytime God tells you have to do something, he has to equip you in order to be able to do it successfully. So the commandment for man to work in that capacity is that, you know, because under the unction of a union that is sanctified and sanctioned by God between a man and a woman, God then equips the man to be capable of being the hardest worker in the room. Absolutely. And you can see it via even our physical differences between a man and a woman, right? There's just some biological rationale here that you can even look in the physicality between a man and a woman, right? Men are just structurally designed to be able to go out and work in fields that require a little bit more physical aptitude, or not physical aptitude, but physical stamina that is different from the average female. The Bible, the Bible says, goes even further to give the commandment that the man is the priest of his household. Then God also equips the man to be capable of leading his household toward God. The question is, are we being what God called us to be in our relationships? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we doing the things that are symbolic of being the hardest working person in the room, even on a spiritual level? The Bible goes even further to say, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Again, I attribute that to work, because the Bible, when we talk about the priest of the household, we talk about working in general, we talk about loving an individual as Christ loved the church, that's not a commandment that he gave to the woman. He never told the woman, love your husband as Christ loved the church. It's a specific commandment that he gives to man in the Bible that tells you, even in that sense, that a man is supposed to love his wife. You know, if you look at how Christ loved the church, he died on the cross, you know, out of love, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, you know, the Bible says in one scriptural passage, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. Again, you can link that right back to, you know, John 3:16, right? So we get an understanding that the man is doing the majority of the work in the relationship to maintain and create balance in the relationship. And this is okay. We have to normalize this. And I think a lot of men want to go into relationships and they want this even Stevens, fair type of dynamic in their relationship. And I don't think that should be so. I think that the man should be prepared to give 150% to balance out his relationship and not 150% just to get 150% out of the other person. Because, you know, the Bible talks about in one scriptural passage to whom much is given and much is required. I mean, I think I gave out a couple of more scriptures to add to this pot than just the two or three that I wanted to. So we have the requirement of men to go above and beyond for our families, for our wives in particular. Jesus Christ died and he loved the church in spite of being criticized, in spite of being unappreciated, in spite of being misunderstood. That is the biblical reference to relationships. And it's synopsis. The Bible says a man's worst enemy is of his own household. The Bible prepares us for the controversies that we will face even in our relationships. You know, another scriptural passage. It says, in as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise. So the Bible not only tells us what we're going to go through, it says, prepare yourself to be drained. Prepare yourself to be emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually drained. Here really is the biggest challenge for men, particularly black men, in relationships, which makes the situation may seem unbearable, but God has given us everything. When God gives a commandment to love our wife as Christ loved the church, when God gives a commandment to be the priest of his household, when God gives a commandment to work to create for the sake of survival of not only ourselves, but our households, he gives us strength to be able to do that. But I'm reminded of a commentary from Minister Farrakhan, I believe it was, where he says that when a man fails his test, it is because he did not do the work to put what is needed in him to prepare himself. And failing our test is really related to lack of preparation, lack of discipline, lack of commitment towards a principle that represents a commandment of integrity towards God's commandments, right? As it relates to our family, as it relates to ourselves, as it relates to our communities. Again, going back, my conclusion as it relates to these scriptural passages in this topic of manhood is that men must give 150% and not require that out of anybody else in the environment. That the man is supposed to be the hardest working person in the room, hands down. I would challenge it. I would challenge anybody from a biblical perspective that wants to challenge that and say, no, the woman, no. God gives a commandment of work. God gives a commandment of loving unconditionally in spite of to the man only. God gives a commandment of leadership with regards to being a priest of the household to the man only. Once you've given 150%, then you have the right to have some righteous indignation with regards to when other people are not doing their part, right? Or when other people are not respecting your role or leadership in the household. When you've done those things, then you can come to me as a man and say, my wife ain't acting right, but I'm doing all these things. I say, then we can have a different conversation. Because now, after you've done those things, after you have prepared yourself as a man, after you've done the work, after you loved your wife in spite of all the criticisms and ungratefulness and all those things, you've done all that, then God gives you permission. Then God is on your side, my personal opinion. Then you have the right as a man to put your foot down and say, these things have to take place in order for me to maintain my level of sanity in this house. We can have those conversations from a therapeutic perspective when I can see those things taking place on a spiritual and natural level with regards to obedience to God's commandment as men. We cannot ask women to submit to us if we are not playing our role. Now, keep in mind, everybody's got to do their part, and submission helps add peace when even in spite of our imperfections. But we cannot have any type of righteous indignation if we are not perfecting and doing our part. So if you have a wife that has a hard time being submissive to you, you know, are you working? Are you providing in a way that gives her emotional, mental, and spiritual security? The adage that women need security, it goes right back to, you know, women need financial, emotional, and spiritual security. And in a relationship, God gives that designation or responsibility to the man to provide that. Again, I provided scriptural passages. I'm not going to try to re-explain myself or try to prove my point here. But we all know, in a general sense, we talk about in general. We know we got some independent women that don't need no man. We're not talking about them individuals. We're talking about people who know that they're independent but interdependent in their relationships. It can value the interdependence and vulnerabilities that come along with being interdependent, i.e., we're going to yield to our natural sensibilities. Man naturally wants peace in his household, and a woman naturally wants security in her household, emotional, physical, and financial security, right? When a man is providing those things, he can then set firmer boundaries with regards to what he needs. Not always wants, but we can negotiate what we want. But really, making sure you identify the things that you need in order to be the best person you can need to be for that person in the relationship. We can then go into a negotiation. And I'll tell anybody with regards to relationship counseling that in a relationship, values, wants, and needs are negotiated. The exception to that is as it relates to biblical responsibilities. As long as the man is doing what he's supposed to do, the woman's supposed to do, then those wants that we want based off of our individual personalities, needs, and backgrounds can be negotiated in the relationship with give or take and concessions to be made, right? So that's the end of this broadcast. I'll try to keep these short and sweet, but these are technically will last roughly about 30 minutes, maybe an hour if we get any active users. I'm doing a live promotion right now, so we'll see what happens. You guys have a great day. God bless. Again, like, share, subscribe to my channel. Follow me, www.larryfortherapy.com. Follow my link. If you're looking for therapy and you're in the Iowa area, look me up. If you're looking for therapy abroad, looking for coaching, life coaching, I am also providing life coaching on a national level. So, guys, I know that, you know, these live posts probably are not the most eloquent, but hopefully get the point across. You guys have a great day. God bless.